Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, all those out there in Blog Radio. This is Pastor Ball, World of Faith Outreach Ministry, 5370 Stokesay Road. Our apostle and bishop is Bishop Kevin Ball. And we just want to thank you for listening this morning, and we hope to be a blessing to you. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready. And that is in my, I know God showed him the rainbow that he said it won't be water for fire next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. And when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they were left behind. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Better get ready. And that is in my. I know God showed him the rainbow that he said it won't be water for fire next time. They tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window. They knocked on the door. Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key, and you can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of men, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Better be ready. And that is in my, I know God showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water for fire next time. Amen. Just a little song, amen, when I was a little girl, my mama used to sing. Amen. Just like they say out there in the world, the oldies but goodies. Amen. Those are songs that will bring you through, amen, through times that you're going through, troubling times, hardship times, perilous times. When you're down, whatever you're going through, those songs right there, amen. They're uplifting, amen. They're scripture songs, amen. From back in the day when our forefathers, amen, was coming up, amen. And they had those type of songs to rely on to help bring them through whatever they were going through. But this morning we're going to be going through to our book, amen, of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. And everybody know that the book of Hebrews, amen, is one of the books of Moses was talking to the people, amen, the Hebrews and the Egyptian people are all together as one. And God is that's what he wants us to do now. He don't want us to look at each other as Hebrews and whites and blacks. And, you know, he wants us to be as one. He don't look at us as being something different from one another. He look at us just being his children. There's no color in God's sight. And there's no religion but one. That's the one, amen, that Jesus Christ is our Lord, amen. And if you believe any other religion, he said you're a curse. That's the word. People want so many different religions they want to believe in because they want to do what they want to do. But there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism in us all through us all. Amen. I just want to thank God. So get your Bibles ready this morning for Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And we're going to be coming from the sixth verse. Amen. Hebrew chapter 13, coming from the sixth verse. Hope all y'all are ready out there this morning. Amen. To come and give God some praise and, you know, come hear the word of God, amen. Because man can't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. That's how we live, and that's what we live by, is God's word. Amen. And we got to remember that. Amen. Because a lot of times, you know, people, they just let the enemy just trick them into things because they have no mindset of who Christ is. And one thing about God, you have to have a personal relationship to know who he is and what God can do. We feel like that God can just do certain things, but God can do anything according to the word, but fail.
And the Bible said that all things are possible to them that believe. So if you are a believer, all things are supposed to be possible unto you. Amen. Here we go into Hebrews 13, chapter 6, verse. It says, so let's start back. Let's start back a little bit. Let's start at 13, starting the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels at unaware. Now, he's telling us when you see somebody straight, don't forget, don't act funny with them because some of them are angels. And sometimes God sends people in the form of different things and persons to see how we're going to treat them. Sometimes we might look at a stranger, you know, funny and, you know, look at them like we're better than them because we don't know them, we don't speak to them, or we have nothing to do with them. But sometimes God said, oh, be angels. They be angels that are unaware. God is trying our spirit to see how we're going to treat somebody that's not in the place that we are or don't have what we have. So we have to be careful. He said, let brotherly love continue. That means don't let it stop. Don't let it stop because this person's not saved. Don't let it stop because this person don't have what you have. Okay. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. He let you know that people are going to go through trials and tribulations and different types of things. They are suffering. But he said, remember them that are bound, things that have them bound. So let brother love continue. Don't look down on them because they got some type of problem, because they still doing certain things they ain't supposed to do. He said, still let love continue. Still don't stop loving somebody because they didn't fail from grace. Still don't stop loving somebody because they didn't talk about you or they didn't say or they're not in the will of God no more. God wants us to still love those people, regardless, in spite of. Look at the fourth verse. It says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He then said he's going to judge those that are whoremongers and adulterers. If you are out here doing things that's ungodly, you're going outside your marriage, or if you're doing things you know that you ain't married, God said this. He said that you're going to be judged. This is God saying. It's not man. This is God. Fifth verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some people look on the things of others and want what they have. He said, don't let your conversation be with covetous. That means don't get mad because somebody else has something that you don't have. You don't know what they went through to get what they got. We always get jealous because somebody has better things than we have, and we want to put our mouth on it and don't know what the person went through. Don't know what caused them to have what they have. A lot of times people that have didn't have. If you look at some of these, even these movie stars that come up, like Tyler Perry, remember they said he was sleeping in cars. He was homeless. He stayed in, you know, he was living on the street. And look what he got now. And people trying to put their mouth on him the same way they'll do you. But this man was homeless. He didn't have nothing. And God raised him up out of that and gave him something and made him somebody. The same way with somebody else. Don't put your mouth on somebody if you don't know what they went through to get what they have. Don't be jealous. Don't be covetous. He's like, don't be, you know, talking conversation with people. Well, they probably got it selling drugs. They probably got it from the church people. They probably got their money spending. See, we put our mouth on things that we don't even understand, that we don't even know about. We don't know what this person went through to get what they got. We don't know the suffering they went through. We don't know the lies and stuff they went through. We don't know the sleepless nights that they went through. We don't know the heartache that they went through. But we want to put our mouth on them because now they're being blessed. You said, well, I remember when they didn't have nothing. Okay, if you remember that, then be glad that they have something now. Amen. Okay. Look at the sixth verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's why God wants you to say, the boldly say, he's your helper. Don't look on somebody else's stuff and be covetous and be wanting. Just say, Lord is my help. I'm going to get blessed too. And when you rejoice and look at somebody else being blessed, God is going to bless you. See, that's our problem. When somebody else gets blessed, we begin to get jealous. We begin to think wrong things and have wrong intentions. And we get with others and, you know, we say things, you know, that we don't even know about or what the person went through. And that's where we mess up at. Because let me tell you something, the Bible says jealousy is cruel as the grave. And when you be jealous of somebody, it's going to block your blessing. You know, that's what killed Abel. Cain killed Abel, which is his brother, because he was jealous of his brother. And that's what we do. We kill one another because we're jealous of one another. We put our mouth on one another. We talk about one another. We slander one another. We put one another down. And ain't went to God about nothing. We should be thankful. The Bible said that give thanks in all things. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means he would say, I don't care when I don't have nothing. I'm going to praise God through the good. I'm going to praise God through the bad. I'm going to praise God when I can't pay my bills. I'm going to praise God when I ain't got food on my table. I'm going to praise God when I ain't got feeling good in my body. He said it all times. See, we want to be some type of people. We want to praise God only when we get a new car or when we're feeling good in our body or we got a lot of food in our refrigerator or when we got a good job or when somebody ain't talking about us. See, you got to praise God even when they talk about you. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. David didn't say, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to thank God today because, you know, he blessed me with this money today. I'm going to thank God today because he gave me a car. He said that all times. That means when he up, when he down, when he hungry, when he ain't hungry. When he got a job, when he ain't got a job. When things is good and when things is bad. All times. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Watch where it's prayed. But we forget about what the word of God says. That's what that song said, I go to the rock of my salvation. The rock of your salvation is Jesus Christ. And when you need confidence, when you need a word, when you need encouragement, you go to the rock, and that's God. The stone which the builders rejected, that's God. That's who you go to. That's why he's saying in the sixth verse, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know why? Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Remember that. Always remember what God is doing. Because a lot of times, you know, we forget that God has not given us the spirit of fear. We begin to fear things. And he told us in the 37th Psalm, fret not thyself of evildoers. Need to be envious of how they prosper. That means how they get what they get. They might be doing the wrong thing, you know, to get blessed. Or might be lying and talking about people to get things, to get blessed. But the Bible said don't be envious of them because they prosper. Because they're going to be soon cut down. And they're going to wither like the green grass and the herb of the field. That means they ain't going to prosper no more when God gets through with them. He said don't be envious of them because they're getting stuff. And they have the will of God and they ain't doing what they're supposed to do. But they're getting ready to be cut down. The Bible said in a time of famine, he's going to satisfy thee. You ain't got to worry about it because God's going to take care of his own. Just like he fed the Elijah the prophet, you ravens to feed him. That's what he did. He's going to always take care of his people. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, Lord, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. That means God is not going to leave you. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we feel like we left. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're forsaken, but you're not forsaken. Because the word of God don't lie. And it's already prospering the thing that God sent it out to do. It's not going to return it to him void. Because all his promises, yea and amen. Every promise in that Bible is yea and amen. That means it is so. And the Bible said, let the redeemed say so. We are the redeemed. That means God then redeemed us. He then brought us back from sin. He paid the price. He shed his blood for us. We've been redeemed. We was blood bought. God used his blood to bring us back to us. His blood was shed for us. So we have no business talking like we don't have no God in our life, like we don't know what God can do. God give you the spirit of love and power. And the Bible said love has a multitude of what? Sin. That means love conquers all. You got love, you can defeat anything. Because one thing about it, that's that love that Jesus Christ died for us for, that what? It defeated what? Hell, death, and the grave. It didn't have no power over God because he had too much love. And that love what made him rise back up. See, if you got love, it'll make you rise back up. It'll make you keep on fighting when you don't want to fight. It'll make you keep on loving when you don't want to love. It'll make you keep on doing and not giving up when you want to give up. That's the kind of love that God has. He got an everlasting love, a love that won't, there's no end to it. It won't let you down. It's a love that will suffer with you when you're going through. It's a love, amen, that will bring you through. It's a love that will help you love your enemies. It's a love, amen, that will not, there's no end to it. That means God, amen, is love. And the Bible says he is a spirit and he is love. And that's what God wants his people to be. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, and he gave you power. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That means you can take up deadly poison, they won't even harm you. He gave you power over the enemy, amen. And the power of the enemy is the word of God. And you got to speak that word on him. That word is the sword of God. And that's what keeps the enemy up under your feet, because he has given you authority to walk all over Satan. But we begin to let Satan walk all over us. He makes us feel like we ain't nobody, like we ain't nothing, and we accept that. We let people and things and places make us feel like we have no God in our life. We don't have no business even feeling or thinking like that. The Bible says, so if a man thinks, so is he. So stop thinking like that. The Bible says that we are what? We are queens and we are queens. We come from a royal priesthood. You don't even know your heritage in God. And your heritage is that you are a people that's set aside, a peculiar people, a holy nation. And we act like we don't know who we are. And we have riches. We have the power of his riches with us because we come from that royalty. But all things belong to God, that means it belongs to us. We just don't know how to possess what he done blessed us with. Because a lot of times people don't know how to possess what they've been blessed with because they don't tithe. And tithe will cut your blessing. Sometimes we walk stingy in God and we lie about things in God. And that's why we don't possess what we're supposed to have, because why? We lie to God like Ananias and Sapphira did. We hold back our possession. We lie about our possession. We give more to the world than we give to God. When the world want to give something, they ask for something, and something that you want and that you like, you'll go give. You don't care how much it costs. But when it comes to God, let me tell you something, you better count up the cost. Because part of this is we're dealing with your life. It's dealing with your health. It's dealing with your family. Because all these curses will come up on you when you don't do right in God with your tithes and offerings. People don't look at that. Then they think God is wrong when God don't bless them when they need a blessing. But what about when he needs you to bless him? What about when he needs you to pray to him, when he needs you to serve him? When he needs you to trust him? We think, oh, that's God. But what about that? We always want to throw stuff at God. Well, God, your word said, and God told you in his word what he said, but he told you there's some conditions about what he will do on what he said. See, we leave that out. We sound like we get an attitude with God. We get mad with God. But God don't owe us nothing. We owe him. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise of this world. Things that seem foolish to us is wise to God. He said, consider your ways. He told us to look at the ant. How the ant be going out here all through the summertime when we throwing food all on the ground and wasting and going on vacations and just living righteous. That ant is steady gathering food, taking it down in his bed. That ant is steady working while we doing being comfortable. And we don't look at that. And then when winter comes, let me tell you something, that ant have full of food. He ain't got to worry about trying to go out because he knows he's too little. He knows it's going to be too cold for him to go out there. And that's the way we all look at things in this world. We need to go ahead and get ourselves together because we don't know when Jesus is going to crack that sky. We don't know when he's going to come and tell and judge us. We think that we got time to live any kind of way. We think we got time to be wasteful and do whatever we want to do. But let me tell you something, God is a soon-coming king. He said, watch well and pray. He said, when night comes, no man can work. You can't go back and get things right with somebody when he cracked that sky. You can't go out and ask forgiveness from somebody. You can't go back and try to live right. Because when God comes, that's the final judgment. There's no going back. He said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. Because it's going to be too late. That's why he letting you be in rehearsal now. He's trying to let you get it right. But we think we got all the time in the world because of our age. Oh, I'm too young to die. I'm too young to be saved. My life is full ahead. Your life is not full ahead of you. It's so many young people dying more than older people dying now. Now you got the the parents buying their children. When it used to be that the children buy their parents. Now it's going the reverse way. Because why? They live in any kind of way. We got to set some examples. And we supposed to be examples of dear followers of Christ. And if we ain't setting that example, ain't nobody going to follow Christ if we live in one way out of the church and another way we get in church. You got to live outside the church the same way you live in front of the church. You don't supposed to have no hidden agenda. Your life is hidden with Christ. You are no longer your own, according to the word, because you was bought with a price. But God don't want you to have a spirit of fear. And that's what he kept dealing with me on. So many people fearful to step out. Well, you know I will get saved, but I know I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, you are. You are going to make mistakes. All the way to Jesus Christ come, but the word repent is there. Don't willfully sin because he gave that to you to repent. But he said, with all our righteousness, we still filth as rags. Then he told us all have come short of the glory of God. All of them going to come short. But the Bible says in Romans 8 chapter, there's no condemnation to them that walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. Stop walking in your flesh. Walk in the spirit. For those that do things in the flesh do minor things of the flesh. Those that do things in the spirit, minor things of the spirit. That means stop trying to walk after fleshly things. Do fleshly things. Be fleshly places. Don't be out of your character. Try to be in the spirit of God, what Jesus would do. See, we don't want to separate ourselves from the unclean thing and come off among it like Jesus told us. He said, then I will receive you unto myself. Then you shall be my people. Then I shall be your God. God have not received so much to himself because we still have not come out from uncleanness. Uncleanness could be places that you know you ain't got no business going, and you know they always smoking and drinking over that house. But you go over there anyway. You know they always cussing and laying over that house, but you go over there anyway. See, we don't want to separate ourselves from the things that's unclean to God. We don't want to separate ourselves from smoking and being in a sexual sin and we don't want to separate ourselves from going to our clubs and drugs and other things. And see, that's why God can't receive us, because we won't come out among this stuff. We won't come out among some of these people we need to let go to, because they unclean. They know, you know, they believe in certain things. You know, some of them atheists, they don't believe in God. Some of them don't have no respect for you. They get in front of you, smoke and cuss. They don't care nothing about you. Anybody that they care about you, they're not going to get in front of you cussing and lying and smoking and doing things. First thing they're going to say is, well, you're a Christian. I'm not going to do this in front of you. They're going to have respect for you. Some of you know y'all let people come in your house and smoke and drink. You don't do it. Why you let them do it? You're defiling yourself and you're in the house. But you're a partaker of it. You're guilty by association. The Bible told us what to do. He told us that we're not supposed to bless people that, how would you say that, that's not clean? Why would you do that? Why would you strengthen them? That's it. Why would you strengthen a hand of somebody that's doing something wicked? You let them come out in your house. Why? Because they're giving you money? Are they doing something for you? That you something that you enjoy, something that you like? The Bible says you ain't supposed to ever respect the person. I don't care who it is. You're not supposed to let them come in your house and do anything. You let one person come in there, but this other person can't do it. Because some of us are getting something out of some of these people. And God didn't show it to me. They're blessing you with something that you want, or something that you need, or something that you like. So therefore, you allow them to come in your house and do things. And God see it, even though we don't see it. But you got to remember, God said, I need to slumber no sleep. He said, I'm beholding the good and the bad. He's watching over all night long. He's got his eyes on you. Even when you think we ain't got eyes on you, but God got his eyes on you. And don't you know that stuff like that bring reproach to your church? That's why you won't be able to get nobody at your church, because if you let them do ungodly things at your house, and then when you ask them to go to church, they're going to be like, dang, right? Because they sit up and let me smoke cigarettes up in their house. They let me smoke weed up in their house. That's why they ain't come. Then you done sit up and talked about everybody from A to Z. They not going to come. The Bible says, let your conversation be holy. Let it be upright. He said, I show you my salvation. And the Bible tells us that the husband is won over by his wife's conversation. That means the wife's conversation got to be holy. You ain't going to win your husband over by sitting up talking about the church, talking about who you don't like, and so ain't this, and somebody left, then somebody came back. You don't get doing stuff like that. That's why we can't win nobody over. We too busy talking about who shot JR. We always talk about somebody's faults. He said, where is the blessings that you spake of? That means talk about God, lift him up from the earth. He said, I draw all men unto me. See, we got to lift Jesus up. We got to lift up how he's still saving, how he's still healing, how he's still doing things upon the earth, how he's still working miracles, how he's setting the captives free. But we won't say all that stuff. We done passed that, and all we talk about is what Satan's doing. We giving Satan testimony. We giving him glory. But all we talk about is this person, that person, and this, and I don't like this, and so-and-so this, and so-and-so that. Stop talking about them people. Stop talking about how Christ can deliver you. Stop talking about how God can set the captives free. Stop talking about how God is working miracles, how he's still doing what he did back in the old days. Start lifting them up so men can be drawn of him. It's too many people walking in darkness that need to be set free. But we sitting up there talking about everything else but that. And we ain't winning nobody to Christ. We pushing them back from Christ. We giving them on back on over to Satan. Because we don't know how to keep our mouths shut. We don't know how to keep our mouths closed. And then you don't, everybody, let me tell you something. Everybody ain't strong like you think. They might appear to be strong, but you sitting up there talking about somebody up in church, and that person might really want to come. Now you done pushed them back out there because of your mouth, your boca. In Latin, mouth means boca. You talk too much. Your diarrhea mouth talks too much. Let me tell you something. Loose lips sink ship. That's why people ain't in fellowship with people, because we got loose lips. That's why people don't talk to people. That's why people don't have friendship with people. That's why people lie on people. That's why people look down on people, because of loose lips that's sinking a ship. We got to learn to shut our mouth. God ain't gave us the spirit of fear. Then you worry about somebody being closer to somebody than you are. You pushing people out there, God, see everything that you're doing. You doing stuff in the dark, that's what's done in the dark, will come to the light. Well, you know, I would have came to church, but so-and-so told me it's a mess down there. It's a mess everywhere. Only way there's a mess is people bring mess. The church ain't a mess. It's people a mess. Every church got its wrongs and its rights. Every church ain't got everything going right. I don't care who it is. And then people just get on my nerves. And I can't. You can't tell people that you try to draw people to church. You don't go and tell stuff out of your church like that. You sinking ships. That means you're putting people back in bondage. You're giving them back over to the devil. You're putting them back over in the world. Just talk about the good things. Things that you see God show you that so you can pray about. Not go out there and tell everything. Not go out there and slander everything for to push people back out in the world. He wants you to pray about those things. You got to remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. He gives you those. That's why he said prayer changes things. And you got to be righteous. And one thing about a God is a God of wisdom. He ain't going to have you saying everything out of your mouth when he knows somebody weak and somebody can't hang on to the things of God, and somebody ain't going to come to him because of something that you done said. I wouldn't want to be a partaker of that. And we need to go back and do our first works over, because we done pushed people back out there and gave testimony to the devil. You done pushed people back out there. You need to go back out there and get that thing right with your mouth. Oh, I wish I had more time on this one, but we don't have no more time. We're going to go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Father, that the people, Lord Jesus, will have wisdom on how to talk to people. And then, Lord Jesus, that you said in your word that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, Father. Now, Father, you said the harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. And, Father, we need some laborers out there in the vineyard. We need some warriors out there in the vineyard that will rise up to the occasion, that will bring souls in, Father, that won't talk about no mess, that won't be putting nobody down. But all they'll be doing is lifting you up, Father, so that men could be drawn unto you from the north, south, east, and the west. And, Lord, we thank you right now, God, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. And, God, without you, we know we can't do nothing, Father. But, God, with all things, Lord Jesus, that's possible, Lord Jesus, to the believer, we can do it. And, God, we believe on your word, Lord Jesus, that you have a remnant, Lord Jesus, that have not bowed down to Satan, Father. We know that you have a remnant, Lord Jesus, that's going to be saved, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that remnant, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for going out there, using people to speak to the battle of the dry bones, Father, that they'll prophesy them bones, and that them bones will come together, Lord Jesus. And they will hear the word of the Lord, Lord Jesus. And, God, we thank you for them right now, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing them in, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, however you want to do it, God, when you want to do it, Lord. You are sovereign, God. And, Lord, you are in the heavens, and you do whatsoever you please. And, God, we just thank you for it. And, God, we want to say, Lord Jesus, that you're covering this whole earth, God, no matter what's going on, Father. You're still covering the earth. You're still in control. And, God, all power is given unto you in heaven and in earth, Father. And, Father, we just give thanks, Lord Jesus. You have your way, Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't just forget that we will be having a Hallelujah Fest at World of Faith Outreach Ministry starting at 5 o'clock. Amen. We want you to come on down, bring your children. Amen. We having games. We having fun. We having candies. Amen. Just come on down. It's at 5370 Stokes Ferry Road, Salisbury, North Carolina. Remember, amen, that we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. We have worship at 11 a.m. Bible study Tuesday at 7:15 p.m. Also, we have other various worship services that we will be announcing. Amen. Sometimes we have revivals. We'll let you know the dates on that. And we just want you to come out and share God with us. Come and love on God and the people of God with us. Amen. And don't forget, amen, we have a Hallelujah Fest today at 5 o'clock. And our number is 704-603-8299. Or you can call it 704-754-1240 or 704-754-1532. And remember, I love you and you can't do nothing about it.